Good morning, BIF family. As you gather to listen to our service this morning, you realize, like I do, that our world is very different today than it was even a week ago. That's a huge understatement, isn't it? Our friend Roman Lajo is going to share in our continuing series on the Book of Acts titled Empowered to Be the Church. He mentions in his message how the church, you and I, have the ability to change atmospheres. And in the midst of the huge atmosphere swings that are taking place in our world right now, from peace to fear, from confidence to worry, from understanding to confusion, you and I can help reshift the atmosphere by pointing the people around us to the one who overcomes fear with perfect love, overcomes worry with a peace that surpasses all understanding, and overcomes confusion as we acknowledge him in all our ways rather than leaning on our own understanding. That is our God, the one who created us, loves us, and is our hope and our peace. Our format this morning is different, unique, possibly even awkward for some of you, but because we, you and I, are the church, not the building where we meet, or even the usual steps we take in how we gather, we can still be the church and gather as one, together, in this format. I encourage you now to gather as families, husbands and wives, moms and dads and kids, friends, individuals, and prepare your hearts to pray, worship, take communion, and hear a great word from our friend Roman. And then, like you faithfully do every week, as you come away from this gathering with a greater sense of the Lord's presence and call on your lives, go be the hope and light to a world that desperately needs that right now. Go be the church. Take some time now with the worship we've prepared to lift his name high, to give honor and praise, to allow him to cast out any fear that you may have with his perfect love. If the songs are familiar to you, sing along. If they aren't, then listen and let the words bless you as you amplify them in your spirit with what we want to offer to the Lord this morning. We will pause for communion before we're done, but in the meantime, let's worship.
That I face, and it's stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the change, this one thing, it remains your love. 'Cause your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives, it never runs out on me. And your love never fails, it never gives, it never runs out on me. separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. Singer, you stay.
Go ahead now and come together with what you have gathered for bread and for juice. If the bread and wine you have doesn't seem right, know that the Lord knows that your heart is what is right, to use what you have to remember what He's done for you. I encourage you to pass out your bread and your wine now. One of you may serve all the others, or you may choose to serve one another. The Lord honors our gathering, even in this format, and is blessed that we remember Him and what He has done for us this morning. That in the midst of the storm that seems to encompass nearly the entire world right now, we stand on the work He did on the cross and proclaim that He is everything we need. He is all that we need, the one who can calm the storm. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Take communion today in remembrance of what He did for you, but also for who He was, is, and will always be. Take the bread in your hand and hold it up as I pray. Jesus, at your final meal, you broke bread and told your disciples that it was your body, which you willingly gave for each one of them, and which you willingly gave for each one of us who are your current day disciples. Thank you for your sacrifice and for all that this bread represents in the life that you have given us. We take this bread in remembrance of what you did on the cross and to proclaim your power over sickness and disease, but also to proclaim your power over fear and worry and confusion in the midst of our circumstances. Thank you for what you've done for us and for the hope we have in who you were, who you are, and who you will always be. Amen. Go ahead and partake of the bread. Now take the cup in your hand and hold it up as I pray. Jesus, the wine which you also shared with your disciples and instructed us to continually remember you by doing the same, represents your blood which was shed for our sins, that in believing in, choosing, and following you as our Lord and Savior, the blood you shed for each of us cleanses us from every sin, allows us to stand righteous before God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid that price for us. We drink this now in remembrance of you and the price you paid, and we stand ready to share this good news with a world that today is worried, fearful, lost, and is desperately in need of the power of your blood. Amen. Go ahead and partake of your wine or juice. Let's continue to worship.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Father, you are our firm foundation. We will put our trust in you, and we will not be shaken. Today or any day, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you stand with us, that you cover us, that you protect us. We trust you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship is good. God is good. I'm really excited and honored to have our friend Roman Lajo here today to bring the word of God for us. And just pray that you'd settle in, prepare your hearts, get out your Bibles, get into the New Testament, the sixth chapter of Acts. He's going to start maybe late chapter 6 and get into chapter 7. But he's got a great word for us today. And thank you, Roman, and bless you for what you're bringing to us today, your investment.
Good morning, guys. This Sunday is a little bit different. We are meeting not at the one place, but we're sitting in different places. Maybe some of you are sitting on a couch, having feet on a table or whatever, drinking morning coffee. But God is the same. He wants to speak to us, no matter if we are sitting in the same room or if we are sitting in the different places. He is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Before we go into His Word, I want to pray and welcome Him here through this broadcast and invite Him to speak to us. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity, for this age, for this technology that we can be together, united in the Spirit, and speak to us, speak through me, speak to all of us who is listening, so our lives are changed, and we can see more of your glory, and more we can know more of your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I will continue speak where Pastor Gary ends in the book of Acts. And we will continue from in chapter 6 and verse 8. And we will read it through the whole chapter 7. So there will be a big chunk of word we will to follow, but we will not read it the whole thing. Please read it for yourself, but I will just speak a few things what I want to really raise up and really talk about, because I believe that this is something what I need to share with you. And this part of Acts are really about Stephen. It's this guy. He was chosen. He was one of the seven. Pastor Gary talked about it 3 weeks ago. That he was one of Stephen was one of the seven was chosen to help with Greek widows. Stephen was 29 years old. He was pretty young from my point of view, and he was chosen to do practical work. But from a scripture, we know that he wasn't only a some practical dude. He was also involved in a spiritual work. He was also involved in a preaching gospel on the street. He was also involved in doing miracles and wonders. So this was a really interesting guy, and we will look at his life, or look at the part of his life we know about from this 1.5 chapter. So in this first part, I want to talk about. I want to pick up from the first part. I want to pick up 2 points, but the first part is when Stephen was taken into custody. It is part from in chapter 6, from verse 8 to verse 15, and Stephen was taken in a custody, and there was, I just want to bring you into the context. There was some false witnesses brought to the court. And there were some accusations. They accuse him that he didn't that he's bringing some stuff against the law, and he want to destroy a temple, and his followers of Jesus would, this was a really dangerous time to be a follower of Jesus. The many Pharisees, the Christian was persecuted, but Stephen is standing there, hearing all these accusations and all these false witnesses saying that what he said and it was turned from the truth. It wasn't the truth, and one of the interesting thing I like, and we can read it in chapter 6, verse 8. Now Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. And I told you, Stephen was not only a practical worker. He wasn't just the guy who was good with serving widows or taking care of people. He was really full of grace. He was really full of power. And then I don't think so this means that he was just a really muscular guy. I believe that Luke, when he's describing Stephen, he's describing his spiritual part. He's talking about that Stephen is full of grace. This guy wasn't just some kind of guy who want to help with something in the church. This was a guy who has really a great character. He was full of grace. He was full of power. And I believe that the power was the second part of the verse is saying that he was performing great wonders and miracle signs. And I think that's the power. That's a God's power, that when things happening through our hands, what we are not really are capable of doing it, but it's God who is equipping us and who is doing it through us. And I believe that Stephen was one of these guys, and we can, I want to challenge you with these four questions four questions. And from this verse, I pick up this question: are you full of God's power? Are you full of God's grace? Is your character really full of God's presence, basically? Because the power and the grace is not coming from the physical part of us. It's not coming from how really many times you go to the gym or how many times you are doing that and that. It's about how many time you spending with the Father, how many time, how much you involved with the kingdom, with the God, and how much you learn from Him. And it's the Holy Spirit who is equipping us and doing this miracles, wonders, and the power. It's coming from Holy Spirit. It's not coming from us, but we are the channel for it, and we need to be ready to be a channel. And my question is: are you full of God's power in this time when people are stressing about coronavirus and they are full of doubts and fear and chaos and they panicking about simple things? And are you full of grace? Are you full of power? People can see that you have indescribable peace in this situation. If not, then my advice will be: go on your knees and pray. Go on your knees and pray for that you will be like a Stephen, who was full of grace and full of power. And the first part, when he was taken into custody, and in chapter 6, in a verse 15, we're reading the other interesting part. What I will try to pick up from these verses, and so Acts 6:15, it said, all who were sitting in a council looked intentionally at Stephen and saw his face was like a face of the angel. And this is also something I I want to challenge you also how people see you, not only when you're performing or when Holy Spirit performing some type of miracles or wonder, or when you have, you know, when you have this peace in a situation, what we were talking in the first point, but can they see at your face that you are Son of God, daughter of God? Can they see that you have something, that you are full of the Spirit? And this is a big challenge for me because, you know, my face is not looking like an angel face, you know, I don't know how the angel's looking, but from my perspective, my face is not like an angel face. But I want to be the person who walk into a room and there is others who are, you know, intentionally looking at me and they see something different on me. And many times in my life, it was like that when I was at the place and people look at me and said, whoa, what's wrong with you? Like, there is something at you, and they call it aura, or they call it some kind of light around me. But I knew that this was God walking with me. And for this, if you will like to be like Stephen, and will like to be somebody like your face is shining and you look like an angel, then again, same advice as the first advice, go on your knees and pray. Because in this situation where we are right now, in Europe, in Slovakia, in the whole world, in Europe, in Slovakia, in Bratislava, we need to be examples. We need to be like angels in this situation when many people are thinking really, in their mind, it's really dark and it's really unhopeness. It's a big fear. And we can be the lights, and we can be the salt who are changing the atmosphere of the room when we walk in. And in chapter 7, most of the chapter 7 is the Stephen speech. It's not a sermon, it's a speech. He was basically responding to the accusation. He was basically giving overall history of Jews. He was basically going from Abraham to the time of the temple, and he was giving the historical background, and he was taking his speech to the point. And if we look at the, if we separate the part of the speech, we can separate it to the five parts. And the first part, from verse 2 to 8, we can hear that he's speaking about Abraham. From verse 9 to 16, he's speaking about Joseph, the life of Joseph. From verse 17 and 43, he was talking about Moses. And from verse 44 to 50, he was talking about the temple. And the fifth part, it's direct application to the people who were at the courthouse. And this is what I wanna look at it from this part. And I encourage you to read this, because this is really overall of Old Testament, and Stephen bringing some really good points in this speech. But I like when he coming to the end and he really bringing the direct application to the people and who were listening to him. And so we will read from in chapter 7, 51 and 53, and I need to find it, 51 and 53, he's continued, so he's reading, he's saying, "You stubborn people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit like your ancestor did. Which of the prophets did your ancestor not persecute? They killed those who foretold long ago the coming of the righteous one, whose betrays and murders you have become. You received the law, but by decrees given by angels, but you did not obey it." And this is really straightforward speaking. You know, Stefan is not where he is. Stefan knows where he's going. He's bringing the issue. He's bringing the problem right on the table. And sometimes we as a Christian, we know the problem, but we are afraid that we will hurt somebody, that we will, we think that because Jesus and because God is love, we need to be sensitive and we cannot speak the truth. But we see on Stefan's life that he's, after a long history lesson, he is coming to the point, and he is not only speaking in the pictures, but the picture, but he's really pointing finger on these guys who, and he's saying, hey guys, there is a problem. You are part of a problem, and you are doing the same mistake as your fathers did. And I think this is something I want to challenge you again and challenge myself to being more straightforward and being more wise how to apply the problem when what I see around myself. And sometimes we try to go around and not answer straightforward, but we see this, that Stefan is applying this and replying this real straightforward. And I believe that this is something what we need to learn. And especially in this time when people have so many questions about God, and we try to not hurt anybody and we try to speak around the stuff. But guys, we need to be straightforward. Of course, we don't want to be hurtful. We want people to understand. And I think this is the balance we need to be really wise into. And this is, again, if you want to be straightforward, if you want to be name the problem, if you want to name the problem and really apply to a people, you need to go on your knees. You need to go and pray because you need to be wise. You cannot just start talking stuff on a Facebook and thinking that everybody will understand. You need to be really straightforward with the situation where God put you, but you cannot just, start, you know, maybe if you are called to that, but start screaming out of your windows, you know, repent. And, you know, yes, some people are called to do that, and I have nothing against it, but I believe that we are called to be wise and to bring in God's word and putting the seeds to the right place where when the ground is ready, not just try to throw the seeds everywhere, you know, and throw it in the rocks or wherever, but we need to put it in the ground where what is ready. And I believe for that we need God wisdom. We need to God wisdom for situation when we want to name the problem, when we want to really use the or do a direct application for the people around us. And we have these opportunities, and this is something what I praying last 3 days. God, give me application for this situation. Give me something I can share. Give me something I can help others to understand. And you know, I see so many people posting stuff on Facebook and really trying to give answers, but this is like, you know, throwing pearls to a swine sometimes for me. You know, it's just verses after verses and advices and praying and, you know, all these. But we need to use these times, we need to use this opportunity and this period of time where we are really wisely. And I believe that how we can do it wisely is that when we will go to the prayers and we will pray and God will speak to us and He will give us advice and He will give us wisdom. And the fourth part is after the speech, and they were really upset with Stefan. And they took Stefan and they take him away, and they took him away out of the town, and they stone him. From this part, I wanna pick up two verses, chapter 7, 55 and 56, and I will read it. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked intentionally towards heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right of the hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And if you continue reading, you can see that these guys went crazy after this. You know, the speech made them upset. But when Stephen said this, this was like the final, you know, final nail. You know, it was the final sound for them to really take him out of the town, stone him, kill him. They were tired of his speech. But I believe that there is a really interesting part in this. What he said that, "But Stephen, full of the Spirit, looked intentionally toward heaven and saw the glory of God." And for me, I always question when I was a child and I heard this story about the first martyr, the Stephen, the first guy who died for Jesus' name. And I was always wondering if his death wasn't vain. My question was, it was worthy. It was something what God wanted. And what if I'm in that situation? What I will do? But through these verses, I can see that Stephen knew what he was doing. And I believe that's why Luke wrote it, that "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked intentionally towards heaven." And I believe that this wasn't a Stephen didn't find himself in a bad situation. I don't think so. Stephen knew what was happening. Stephen knew what was happening. Stephen knew where he was and what will probably going to happen. And he said what he said and made the other guys really, really upset. And from this part, I don't want to ask you if you are willing to die for Christ, and maybe that's what God asking you, but I'm not asking that. My question or my challenge from this part will be, do you know what God's want from you? Do you know what God needs from you? And in this situation, is really important that we know what God wants from us. It's really important that in a situation when everybody's stressing, everybody's making, you know, panicking and making a big things from nothing or nothing from a big thing, you know, take it from each side, we need to know what God needs from us, what we need to do for God's glory. And maybe some of you are questioning, like, hey, was his dad necessary? Was his dad really needed? Like, how his dad brought glory to God? And we don't know the story behind. One day we will find out, when maybe we will have opportunity to speak with Stephen, but what he was thinking, and we will know in heaven how important was that. But for me, I knew that Paul, the future Paul, the guy who to spread the gospel in the Acts, in the later part of Acts, and he was there. He was there really hating Stephen, and he agreed with his stone, with his that the other guy was killing him. He agreed it, and we don't know what really God was doing in the Paul hearts, and we can read about it later on, and you know, later on in Colossians, you know, there is really a part what can be about Stephen, and I don't know if it is, but I will read it. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. "Keep thinking about things about, not things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And the question is, if this is not written about about the Stephan, because he wasn't thinking about this earth, and he knew what God's want, what God want from him. And I don't believe that from all of us God wanted we will die as martyrs, but for each of us God has a plan. For each of us God has purpose, and for this, and for especially in this situation where when everything is chaotic, I think we really, as a Christians, we need to know what God wants from us. And again, this is my continuing prayer for the last few days, and I'm praying, God, please let me know what you need from me. If it's just, I don't believe that we should be hiding and being not seeing, and yes, we should be in quarantine, and we should do, we should stay home and protect ourselves and protect others, not spreading the virus. And I agree with this, and I'm support and I encouraging you to do this. But maybe there is a way. Maybe you need to be a peacemaker, or you need to bring in a peace to somebody who is maybe it's your colleague, it's your schoolmate, maybe it's your family member, who you need to show that God, that you trust God. And for that, again, it's the same, for that challenge, is the same answer. We need to go on our knees. We need to pray. We need God to help us to be examples, to show His glory. So these four things I want to challenge you this Sunday is to pray so you can be full of grace and full of power of God. The second is that you will pray so people can see at your face, people can see that you are different, that you will be so full of the Spirit that so it will be visible before you start speaking. The third part is that we need to pray that we can name the problem, that we can apply the problem, that we can go directly to application. And because when we know the problem, we can find solution. So we need God's wisdom in it, and we need to pray for it. And the last part, and I believe that's really important, especially for me, is to knowing where God want to use us. Where God want to use you, where God want to use me. And in this situation, it's even more important to know what God wants from us. And Stephan, I believe Stephan did what God asked him. God asked him to do. He's not asking us to do the same thing. Maybe some of us, yes. But I'm not saying that we all will die as a martyrs. But we all want to do God's will, if you are call yourself Christian. So go on your knees. Go on your knees and pray for these four things. Pray for that God can use you in really amazing way, in really supernatural way. And I really encourage you, and I really inviting you to a prayer as a church, because this is the most important thing. If you want to destroy coronavirus, if you want to help, we need to pray. We need to pray what to do, how to do, when to do, where to do. We need all knowledge from God. God has all the knowledge. He know all about coronavirus. He know all about our bodies. He know everything. We just need to trust Him and listen to His voice. So let me pray. Jesus, thank you for your wisdom, for you, for your glory. And I really want to ask you to help us to be full of grace and full of your power. I want to ask you that your presence will be visible through us when we go to buying groceries, where we are bringing groceries to our elderly neighbors, or whatever we are doing, so you are visible through us. And help us to name the problem, help us to understand what is the issue and apply and find a solution. Lord, you have solution for coronavirus. You have that. And you want to use the people like us who will listen to you and bring you glory. And the last part, Lord, I want to ask for us that we all will find our place where and what you call us to do. We need your wisdom in this. We need you into this. Amen. So guys, I'm encouraging you, continue to pray for this world, for this nation, for healing, for the people who are sick, and especially for God's glory to show. And this is a time, when the church needs to stand up, when we need to wake up and pray. I believe that every crisis can be used for wake-up call, for innovation, for new things. Have a nice Sunday, guys. God bless you.
Thank you, Roman. Thank you for blessing Bratislava International Fellowship, for your investment. BIF family, we miss you. Even though we can't see you face-to-face, we think of you often. We pray for you. We would just ask that you be the church, as you always are, to bring hope and peace and light to the world, that for people around you who don't know Jesus, who don't have a source of hope and a peace, that maybe you would be used as a door to show them that love. Even this week, in the midst of the storm that swirls around all of us, that we can be used as conduits to introduce those around us to the God that created and loves them. I would ask, too, that as we close today, as I say goodbye until next week, that you spend a few minutes praying for each other, as families, as individuals, and of course, for the people around you, for our world, protection from this virus. Pray for wisdom for our leaders who are leading us through this. It is not an easy job. This is an unprecedented crisis never before seen in our world, and so those that lead cities and countries, they need wisdom and they need our prayers. Also pray for those in healthcare. Just have a heart and a burden for those this week who selfishly go to work every day and are potentially exposed to this themselves. Just pray that they be protected and blessed as they serve those who are sick and who are hurting. So have a great week, and we'll see you back here again next Sunday online.